Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
And when I have my mask on and I'm breathing, it goes in my glasses and dries my eyes out.
And then your glasses get all foggy.
Well, not, yeah, they get foggy, but my eyes get dry. I have to
Right.
My eye drops, so I don't know. But we're here on the edge.
Hello, brains.
Hello, brains. And we are with Megan Gilroy. I'm so excited.
Hello, April.
I know. And you're in Colorado, right?
I am in Colorado. I'm in a tiny little mountain town in Colorado.
Brains, there's nothing tiny about what she's doing. She's got a full-on ranch. She's got a beautiful white horse. When you showed me the horse, I was like, wow. She got two puppies, three kids, and a husband.
Yes, I do. I got a whole set, a whole gamut on our little ranch here. It's always chaotic and always
amazing. But there's always
stunning. I wish I could show everyone my view of the mountains.
It's gorgeous. But you know what? She still has the capacity to be a fully shining woman and a wisdom. Well, let me get this right. It's Fully Shining Women's Wisdom School. So she runs that. In addition to that, she's a spiritual teacher, a shamanic healer, a business mentor, and a mindful mama. And we're going to ask her how she has all this capacity, because it's so important that we are able to edit and filter, but also balance. And I want to ask her, what is a shamanic healer? I've been getting a lot of guests on my show that have talked about, you know, getting certifications and going through the practice and all that. So we want to do some deep diving. Megan, I'm going to let you begin. Tell us a little bit more about you, baby.
Okay. Yeah. So my spiritual journey happened when I was a few years out of college. I was living and teaching in the inner city of Los Angeles in Watts. And I had a huge...
Wait. I got to stop, because I hate to do that. When
I just dropped a bomb on you.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Wait a minute. You was teaching in Watts?
I was. Yeah. I was a Teach for America teacher, and I was the only white girl living in Watts with the other teacher, the male teacher that I was sharing a house
Watts
with.
Watts Tower and Great Street.
Yep. Got it. Yep. 107th Street.
I am so proud of you. You got some street cred. High five.
Thank you. High five. Yeah. So obviously I was living in Watts teaching, and up to that point, I had definitely been in that overachiever, perfectionist, valedictorian of my college. I had been invited to write books, and we were doing a playground project in one of the inner city housing projects, and that had gotten featured. And so I was feeling pretty successful. And then I had a heartbreak, and my classroom was out of control, and I just couldn't figure out what was going on with me, right? Because I was used to all these roles that I could play. And as I was kind of sitting on my floor in a puddle, questioning who I was in my life, and obviously my parents were not too pleased about where I was living and teaching, that I started to wake up and realize that I wasn't just the teacher or the girlfriend in the relationship that wasn't working out, or the daughter that wasn't happy, whose parents weren't happy with her. And so I met Don Miguel Ruiz, and he is the author of The Four Agreements. I'm sure we got some Four Agreements fans out there. Mm-hmm. And he is also a shamanic healer as well. And I ended up kind of making a huge turn in my life, going from that very goal-oriented, you know, results-oriented world to like dropping down into my heart and my intuition, and kind of in that you just can't make it up path. And so I ended up traveling with him to the Pyramids of Mexico, which became my spiritual home, and all sorts of different power spots around the world. And eventually I ended up co-teaching with him and running his business. And so that really opened up this doorway of being a shamanic healer. And so a shaman is someone who can walk between the worlds. They can go in between that spiritual intuitive world and the everyday practical world. And so you know, in ancient times, the shaman would have been the one who would have prayed for when the tribe would like move to a different location, or asked how you would heal someone who was emotionally or physically sick. And obviously that lineage has been passed down. And Don Miguel Naimi Anahual, which in the Toltec tradition would mean a shaman. And yeah, it's been this huge journey of being an artist of my own spirit. Wow. And learning to trust myself and really stand in my power and just have that kind of sensitivity and relationship with the earth and earth-based wisdom.
Well, what
practices.
Did your parents say when you went from Watts to wander in the world? They're like, what in the world? And we paid for this education.
Yes. I mean, my parents were accountants. They were accountants from Pittsburgh. So it definitely kind of went outside their world. And at the same time, we have a very Irish intuition kind of lineage in my family. So I think at some level they must have gotten it. But yeah, I definitely veered off of the path that probably they expected me to take. I think my mom would have been happy if I was, you know, the president of the United States or the head of a big corporation.
I know.
And that just was not my soul calling.
Yeah, you had to find your soul calling. Right. You had to find your own way. So through all these adventures, what has it taught you?
You know, I feel like the biggest lessons I've learned has been around letting go of what anyone else expects of me, whether it's my parents, my husband, my children, my friends, and really being able to go inside myself and be really clear about my own light. And by that, I mean, what's my dream? What's my vision? How do I want to live my life? And then being able to stand in my power around speaking up and being able to share my truth. And sometimes that's really hard because we all have those doubts in our heads that go kind of crazy about, am I good enough? Can I do this? You know, what's the right choice for me? And it's just been this huge process of healing and transformation, expressing my authentic self, and really holding that place of being able to be really open about possibility and kind of the magical coincidences, serendipities that happen in life. And then also being really rooted and having my feet on the ground and being able to practical next steps. And I just love sharing that with other women. I feel like now's our time, right? We have Me Too movement. We have Kamala Harris in the White House. We have this whole girl power, women's empowerment time. I think Mama Earth has been really speaking up and speaking to us loudly. And so this feels like that time when women's wisdom and women's voices really need to be heard and incorporated into not just like the dialogue about our communities and our country and our planet, but also just shifting the way of living, right? To really include that kind of divine feminine energy into our everyday lives.
So you are making such an impact on a spiritual level. You're a spiritual teacher. And of course, teaching is a gift. You know, everyone can't resonate and everyone can't penetrate. It takes a lot of work to teach someone something and for them to receive it and work through it. So you call yourself a spiritual teacher. What are you teaching?
So I feel like I'm teaching all the pieces I just said is really around how to be a fully shining woman. And so I'll share a little bit more about that story. So my husband and I got married 2 weeks after our first date. We got married on top of the Pyramid of the Sun in Mexico by Don Miguel Ruiz. And a few years before that, I would say about 2 years before that, his then 10-year-old son, Nick, said to him, "Dad, it's like this. You meet all these women, you fall in love, you want to get married, but you really should wait for your fully shining woman." And so when, and this is a 10-year-old, right? So Jamie and I got together, my husband and I got together, and Nick said, "That's your fully shining woman." And of course, when he said that, there was like a part of me that really lit up over that, and I could feel the energy around that. And then at the same time, I've watched how over the years, you know, you get that clarity and confidence, and then you go back into confusion and doubt. And I feel like as women, we all have that, right? There's times when we feel so clear about this is what I'm meant to be doing, or this is the relationship that feels right to me, or this is the career path I feel right to me, or here's how I'm going to deal with my health. And then other times we feel like, you know, our doubts are up, our fears are up, our limiting beliefs are up, and we can't see ourselves as fully shining women. And so that to me is part of my gift of being able to really see that within each woman and being able to help you facilitate that process of how do you keep shedding all the parts of you that are not really serving what your heart desires and what your soul's calling for. And how do you keep walking forward on your own unique path with help and support and guidance?
What's your ideal client?
My ideal client is a woman who definitely has that spiritual calling. She feels deeply what's going on the earth right now. And she really has that desire to be of service. She wants to know what her soul gifts are, and she wants to know how she can share that in the world. And so I have all sorts of women come to me. Some are healers and coaches and spiritual teachers. And then I also have people who are more kind of getting started on their path. I work a lot with soul-led entrepreneurs, and more I'm starting to hear people talk about, they're very intrigued by the mystery school that I'm creating, and they want to know how to do that as well.
Well, introduce us. What
is okay.
School? I want to know.
Yeah. So I am creating the Fully Shining Women Wisdom School, and it is a modern mystery school, and it's based on mystery and mastery and magic, and it's messy, which I love. And mystery schools have been in existence for thousands and thousands of years. And in ancient times, they were where you would go to be trained spiritually. And they were often shrouded in secrecy because the teachings that were being shared were just so powerful that you had to prove that you were trustworthy enough to receive the teachings. Mm-hmm. And there's been mystery schools all over the world, in Egypt, in Mexico, in Asia, and Ireland. And there was often prophecies about there would be a time when the world would be open enough and aware enough that these schools would no longer need to be secret. And so Don Miguel, who was my spiritual teacher, was part of that mystery school lineage. He was part of the Toltec lineage, and that's the tradition I've been named in. But for me, there's also this element of combining the women's wisdom lineage and being really open to evolving to today's times, and also just embracing that each person has their own wisdom, each person is unique, each person is their own teacher and has their own medicine. And so we are opening this school in the summer, and I have elders and mentors and sisterhood pod leaders who are already on board and excited to welcome members, sister members into the school. And it's really that chance to explore deeply who you are and what you believe and what you want to manifest in your life, what you want to attract to you. And it's also that place of like women truly supporting women and being in a sisterhood. And so there's a master heart method that I developed when I was at the pyramids of Mexico. And that's really the center of the school where you can really download divine guidance. And you can also access the powerful intuition and wisdom that all of us carry as women.
Excuse me. All right. So let me ask you this. And I ask you because my brains are going to want to know.
Yes.
Religion, spirituality,
mm-hmm.
mind control.
Yep.
Cult-like environment.
Yep.
How do you answer those questions? Because not that I'm judging,
yep.
but I'm hearing that, you know, there could be people that are fearful.
Yep.
People that, people always say, I want to know myself. Do you, yep. brains, do you really want to know yourself?
Yeah.
Because that subconscious mind, you know, I tell people all the time, that's about six or seven other people that you don't even know.
Right.
Around there.
Get to know all the parts of yourself.
Exactly. And so there's a lot in what you're doing.
Yeah, for sure.
This is, you know, this is metaphysical. It's energy yep. work. It's light work.
Yeah.
What do you say to the skeptics? What do
yeah.
you say to the person that's concerned?
Yeah, well, first of all, I say to everyone, obviously, you have complete free choice whether you want to participate or this is just not for you. So that's number one. And then secondly, I feel like when you really feel into someone's energy and presence, for myself, I'm a big believer in walking your talk and demonstrating lived experience. And as you get to know me and, you know, even come and explore ways to participate in Fully Shining Women Leading Our World without coming into the school itself, you get a chance to see, like, does it resonate or not? Mm. And I have had the privilege of over 25 years walking this kind of spiritual path and meeting healers and coaches and leaders from all over the world. And it's not just about me being a fully shining woman. I am a fully shining woman. Right. And there are many other fully shining women that are inspirations and examples. And to me, it's about going inside to your gut and your intuition and really feeling like, is this right for me? And of course, fear and doubt can come up. And we're happy to have those conversations and explore that. But this isn't about any one religion or even anyone's spirituality. And yeah, you always have the freedom to make the choices you want to and stay or go as you please.
You know, people, you know, they say they have free will and free choices, but fear holds them back.
Sure.
And you have to feel the fear and do it anyway, brains.
That's right.
As my daughter says, you got to get in your feelings.
I love it.
Well, and it's so important because that's how you're going to evolve.
Yeah.
I just been through a tough time in my life, but it was the most beautiful transfer of energy and spirit that I have ever experienced was
Yeah.
death. And the death
Yeah.
of my mother, brains. And I know you guys are like, what? I say
Yep.
all the time, I'm bent, but I'm not broken. I actually saw the soul.
I love
I
that.
actually saw the shell. And to be able to lay my chest on her chest and feel her last heartbeat.
Yeah.
I recall when my daughter was born, the first place that they placed her was on my chest,
Right.
her heartbeat. So there is something to this. There is another side. Let me ask you this, Megan. Do you believe in reincarnation?
I do believe in past lives, so I would say yes. I can't explain how that works. My mind cannot grasp that, but I definitely have had those experiences of having memories from other times, and I've also had many, many clients who've had that experiences too.
What do you think about, releasing trauma? Do you believe that people can really heal from trauma? What's your position on that? Because I've talked to some other, big brains, and they say
Yep.
you process trauma, but it never really goes away.
That is an awesome question because I have definitely seen people who, including myself, who have processed and released big trauma. And I think it often depends on the level and the depth that you go to. So for me, and I'm just talking about my personal experience, I know when I went to therapy, I could understand intellectually, my family of origin and where beliefs came from. And when you work in that shamanic realm or in a healing realm or energy work kind of realm, it's not just about understanding it intellectually, it's really able to have that body mind soul connection. And so I've certainly seen miraculous releases of trauma. And then I'm also constantly surprised at like the layers of the onion of just where that might pop up again. So I don't know the definitive answer to that question, but I know it's certainly possible to heal from trauma. And it's also a huge, huge healing that can happen depending on the depth of the trauma. And it may be something that you experience for your lifetime.
Because that's the big conversation going on now, generational trauma.
Yeah.
People are really talking about, and that's why I asked you about, a little bit about past life regression, a little bit about mind control,
Yep.
a little bit about, neuro-linguistic programming, the conversation
Yeah.
we're having in our head, and are we dancing with the demons? Are we flying with the angels? Where
Yep.
do people, where do people land? Because everybody's confused right now, especially after COVID.
I hear you. And not just COVID. I mean, there's been so much social unrest or so much racial injustice going on. And we each have ancestral lineage healing to do. And then when you add on systemic racism or you add on poverty or add on any other kind of social factor, then that can be even deeper. And it's not just about you then, it's about a whole system and a whole society. So we, for me, I feel like COVID was that quieting of the outer world so that we got to see all these
Right. Absolutely.
previously undercurrent, not being willing to really look truly at what was going on, that it all came up into our face. And I think not just those kind of traumas, but I think there's also trauma stored in Mother Earth in places that you see mass shootings or places where, tragedies are happening. Oftentimes I can perceive like, oh, there's actually this lineage held in the memory of the earth and her energy that we're needing to clean and release as well.
So you're very connected to Mother Earth, but you also say that you are a mindful mama.
Yes.
What does that mean?
So I believe that we need to have that kind of idea of caring for the next seven generations. And I have a daughter and a son. My son is a teenager and my daughter just turned 7. And then I also have a bonus son who's in his 30s. And when I particularly look at my daughter, I just have that sense of if I and my circle of women are not raising her to have the awareness about caring for the earth and trusting her intuition and being willing to speak up and really trusting her own truth and her own wisdom, then who will? And so do my best to be mindful about her being on her own path and her having her own hurts and challenges and joys, and holding the space for her to figure out like what's true for her and how can I support her in figuring out what she feels or figuring out what she thinks. And so I'm not always.
Do you think that at the age of 7, she's mentally mature enough to figure things out versus being directed or guided? And I'm not saying that you're not directing or guiding her, but you know, there's so much of an influence on our life based upon our parents.
Sure.
Dictate.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it's an either or. I think even when you're 2 or 3, you have that inner impetus of what you want, what you need, and you're figuring out how to express that and communicate that to the people around you. And you obviously need guidance and support and care from the adults in your world. And so I do my best about being mindful of how much I'm imposing my own point of view on her, as opposed to holding space for her to figure out what she wants and needs. And it's a dance, right? There's some days when I go into yelling and frustration and just like, do it now. And other days when I can hold the space for her to say, I'm confused, or the tears are coming down my face, or I'm hurt and I don't understand this. And to help her figure out, like, how do you learn to listen to your emotions? And how do you figure out what it is you think? Because that's hard to do as an adult, let alone as a 7-year-old.
Exactly, exactly. And with peer pressure and outside influences, you know, there's a conflict. You know, there's always conflict in our life. So how does this work? Because I hear that you do a lot of work with women. How does this work with regards to your relationship, you know, with your husband? How do you do the dance?
Yeah.
Because again, you know, somebody's got to lead sometimes.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to follow. Sometimes we do the electric slide and we're side
to
side. How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, it is a dance. And my husband also has been on a spiritual path. He was taken in by a Native American elder who he met in the dream time first. He had a dream about him, and then he met him in real life. He studied with Buddhist teachers, and he also studied with Don Miguel. So I feel really blessed that we both have that same spiritual interest and spiritual values.
Don Miguel, or you?
I did. Yeah, exactly. That's how we met. And there's a crazy story there, which we probably don't have time for today, but I feel like with Jamie and I, he and I have really done a dance where initially we got together and he was in the role of being primarily the moneymaker, and I was primarily in a more traditional role of supporting him in his business and also taking care of house and home and kids. And then at some point we switched and he became the stay-at-home dad and I became the person in the family making the money. And wow, did that bring up a lot, because he is an alpha male. He was a contractor and a firefighter, and for myself as well. You know, the first time he said, what, I have to change the diapers and do the dishes if I'm in charge of the house and kids, is like, yep, that's what that means. So it's been this real dance. And I think it's been such a journey of us being able to walk in each other's shoes and have that kind of understanding. And, you know, we have our blowouts and blowups, and we also have the ability somehow to keep coming back together and getting real about what we feel. I know early in our marriage, we both had each other on a pedestal, and I had my tendency of wanting to have everything harmonious. So I wasn't always telling my truth about what I wanted or what, you know, my opinion was about a purchase or, you know, a career move or whatever. And over time,
let me interject.
Yeah.
Or a blended family. I have a blended family too.
Yeah.
And that takes work.
Yeah.
And I mean,
it does.
How long have you been married?
18 years.
18 years. So he was 12 years old. Was he 12 years? You said he's 30?
Yeah. So my son.
Your bonus.
Yes. So my bonus son, Nick, it was 12 when we got together. Yep.
And so.
Yeah. So we had to work through those differences of, like, I wasn't a mother at that time. So I became instant mom. We actually moved across the country. I let go of my job and my spiritual community, and we had to work together. And also over time, I had to learn to speak up and share what it was that I want. And that's been a interesting process. And he's also had to learn to soften and listen and cherish and value kind of a more feminine way of doing things. So it's been quite the journey and not an easy one. And, you know, we keep showing up.
There's a lot of women out here, you know, there's men too, There's a lot of women that get into relationships with men that already have children, and there's a lot going on. There's a lot of emotion because a lot of times the kids feel that nobody's going to be good enough for my mom or my dad, except for my biological mom and dad. You're trying to figure out your place in all of this. You know, do I, am I the disciplinarian? Am I the best friend? You know, how much grief do I give my husband? You know, all of these things. So I think what you're teaching also teaches a woman to be compassionate and look at the big picture. This is not just singular. This is about a tribe. This is about a universe. This is about a synergy. This is about love. It's about ebbs and flows. It is going to be difficult, but opening yourself up to all of this is huge. And I commend you because, girl, I had to do the work too. You know, it wasn't easy at first because you got another person's emotion. You know, you've got that.
Any family has that, right? You have all these different
You have all
players and woo, it's ping pong sometimes.
your own biological children with that spouse. Then there's, you know, the child is looking at you like, okay, now where do I fit into this? Do you still love me? Am I still important? So it's so important that, again, that you're sharing all of this wisdom and encouragement with these women. I think it's so important. And I, again, I'm just so happy that you had that experience of working in Watts, because Watts is not easy either.
It's not
Okay.
easy.
And you saw a lot. You saw a lot of, and I shouldn't say dysfunction, just because people are overlooked and underserved, that doesn't mean they're dysfunctional. They're doing the best they can with what they have. But with all of the challenges right now, what would you say to a woman that's number one, trying to find herself? And for a woman that is trying to incorporate a blend, be it a blended family or, you know, work relationships or her sexuality, what would you say to that woman? What would be her starting point?
So I'm going to start a little esoteric and I'll bring it down to earth since we talked about having that balance. So for me, it's about listening to your soul. And so what does that mean on a practical level? I believe that when you go in the direction of your happiness, your pleasure, your joy, things that feel expansive, like that is God, life, source, whatever you want to call that, guiding you. And so anytime something comes up and you're not feeling that sense of like, oh yeah, this feels good on a deep level inside of me, then that's a chance to look at, well, what's in conflict? What's that deeper belief or that underlying agreement you've made that's not working for you? And so listening to your soul might look like taking an extra breath during the day or taking an extra 5 minutes to meditate. It might look like finding a way to connect with nature, whether it's a potted plant on your terrace of a high rise or going into a park, or if you're like me and you're blessed to be able to walk up into the mountains to give yourself that time and space. I also think it has to do with really listening to your emotions because that's your integrity talking. And so giving yourself, you know, even if it's a few minutes to prioritize yourself, because I know my path as a woman and within a family has often been about not just caretaking everybody else, but also saying, I have to make sure that I'm taken care of and that I'm a priority and what I want to need is included in this. So it definitely is a dance. And I don't believe that anybody has the right path to do it. We all have our unique paths. And I know that the more I interact with women and I hear different points of view and different journeys and different suggestions, that always brings me the right answer at the right time to say, oh, right, I forgot. You know, it would be great for me to make that cup of tea for myself before I transition from my workspace to my home space. Or, oh, right, if I can sit with my daughter and ask her to pray and call in her archangels to keep the bad dreams at bay, that helps. And I just believe as women, we have so much wisdom that we can share with each other. And when we operate in a sisterhood, and I have been so blessed to be living in a community where so many other women also hold similar values, and we all have that kind of, it actually feels a little bit of a throwback, like the kids float among our houses. And, you know, if my kid's out of line, then you have full permission to say, like, no, that's not how we do it. So it's also finding ways, if you don't have that where you physically live, to connect with other women who are like-minded and like-hearted and who can support you when you're going through the challenging times and help you sort through and figure out what's true for you, what's your answer, what's the path forward.
And I know you can't speak for Jeff, but is Jeff working with men?
Oh, Jamie? Yeah, my husband.
I'm sorry.
Jamie, so Jamie does. He has a men's circle here in town and they meet monthly and they get real and they really talk about.
They play drums, you know, men like
They
to play.
don't do that, no. Like we laugh because the women's circle, you know, we're tied into the cycles of the moon and we put out our candles and we sing our songs and the guys don't do that. They just want to get in, talk about what's up with them and that's it. So yeah, he does do that. And you know, I have that vision that for me, my calling right now is to work with women, but I certainly have that vision of fully shining men, fully shining couples, fully shining children, you know, all of us to be fully shining because I feel like our planet needs this. We are
Well, you
facing so
know,
many
part of that
challenges.
is because men are taking such a hit.
They
You
are.
know, bless their
Yeah.
heart. You know, and I love a man. I really do.
Yeah.
And they have not necessarily been groomed,
Yeah.
you know, or they've had to put up this big shield, this big
Yeah.
defense. You know, I'm
Yeah.
this big macho guy. I can't show emotion. I can't cry. I can't feel.
Yeah.
But it does them a disservice because
Agreed.
there is a feminine energy that resides in them, and they came through a female portal. So
Absolutely.
there's so much to learn with regards to that. So I'm glad that Jamie is doing what he's doing, working with men, just even like again, holding that space, having that conversation somewhere that they feel safe, that is authentic, and they can, you know, beat their chests or cry or, you know, talk
Just
about.
lean on each other for support. I feel like we all need that, right?
Right,
So,
do it all the time. You know, we have that empathic, you know, nature resonating inside of us because we're mothers. But you don't see that very much with men. And I'm really glad to know that there is a space that they can go to, that they can feel comfortable, and that people like you, Megan and Jamie, are facilitating that because you've done the work and you
Thank you.
continue to do the work. And I don't take it lightly. So tell my brains a little bit about what you have offering right now, what you're going, how you want them to connect with you in the Fully Shining Women Wisdom School.
Yes. So I am building this. I'm going to use an image to transmit this energy. So this is this fully shining woman open to possibility and also rooted on the ground. And I'm really building it first from the energy inside of myself and then inviting in Jamie's partnering with me to help with some of the back end logistics and an elders council and a mentor council and the sisterhood pod leaders and then opening it up with the actual sister members who will be coming in. So if you are curious and intrigued, you can go to my YouTube channel. If you go on YouTube and just search for my name, that will pop up. You can also come right now. I'm on Facebook with Fully Shining Women Leading Our World. We have a really juicy and yummy group of women who are there supporting each other. And the school's going to be opening on the full moon in July of 2021. And so if you are interested, you're welcome to also email me. And that's at megan@megangilroy.com. And then, of course, I have my website. And all of this has been such a creative vortex. It feels like birthing not just a business, but an actual model and paradigm and movement. So it's all coming together very quickly. And I don't have anything on my website yet, but we'll get there.
It's ever evolving, and
It
it's great.
is.
You know, that's what we are doing, and we're changing, and that's so important that we leave that space open to receive new information. Don't close yourself off, brains. Really, you know, you do yourself a disservice. There is so much in the world. That's my next book, 365 Days. I've been
Love
documenting
it.
for the last, I don't even know what day I'm on now, but really, what I've learned each day, you learn something different,
Beautiful.
you know, and that's so important. I'm going to look back and see where I was. I'm going to read where I am, and I'm going to project where I want to be.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for that, Megan. I'm going to put all
Powerful.
the information at the end of this video so people can stop. I'm going to put it down at the bottom. I'm going to run it again when you open up the school. And
Thank you.
when I get to Colorado, now, are you going to use your facility there as a retreat type facility there where you live, or?
So, yeah, so the school is primarily online because we have people all over the world who are already involved in the sisterhood pods. And I will be doing an annual gathering once the world opens up again. I'll probably do that in some fun location that we all want to gather together. And then there will be some times when I'll do smaller retreats here in my property and also in Teotihuacan, which are the pyramids I mentioned earlier outside of Mexico City. So there will be definitely some chances to gather in person as well.
Let me just, before we conclude, let me ask you a quick question about the energy that you receive in the pyramids of Mexico. Because I, you know, and it's people, I don't know, I can't explain it. When I was in China, there was a different energy. When I was in Asia, I mean, Africa, there was a different energy. Indigenous people, there's a different energy. Source and spirit come to us in so many different forms. And so that's why I just don't get why people are prejudiced. I don't get why they're afraid of color. There is such a richness in the world, and spirit, God, source has come to all of us individually. I mean, he wouldn't come to me and speak Vietnamese. He'd come to me and speak Ebonics. Or he wouldn't come to me as a 65-year-old Irishman. He'll come to me as a 59-year-old black woman. So people, I want you to learn something, if nothing else, from this. Your God, your spirit is individually designed for you. It is to resonate with who you are, with who you are designed to be, not a carbon copy of someone else. And you're not supposed to influence and infiltrate what somebody else is supposed to be. You're supposed to honor them in that
That's
space.
right.
Love them, nurture them. It's like planting a seedling, watching it grow organically. Water it, nurture it, prune it, but let it do its thing. That's all I'm saying.
I love that. Yeah, I have this deep sense of like honored reverence, like to have honored reverence for you and the magic of you and all your life experiences and all your talents and all your soul gifts and all your challenges. And that's what I want each of us to have, is that we all do have these different life experiences. We may go to different places around the world, or we may live in different locations, but at the core of it, we all have life force moving through us. Something's animating us and breathing us, and we kind of put all these extra layers of beliefs and, you know, I'm not that, and separation and division and all these things we're struggling with in the world right now. And if we can keep stripping that away and getting to the core of where we're all one in many ways, and we also all have very individual experiences and different paths that we've taken and different societies that we have to contend with. So if we can somehow blend those two in a beautiful synergy, it's like that's when the magic happens.
Absolutely. And you've got the pixie dust, baby. Yes, you do.
Yeah, sprinkle it around.
How's the horse today?
Al is good. He is up in the field. He is an Arabian horse and he is so majestic and he teaches my daughter and I so much. He often appears on camera in the background when I'm doing ceremony and retreats
What is it?
here. So,
Can't see him now. You can't.
I don't know if you could see out the window and up the pasture. You want me to try?
Yeah, try it. Let me tell you,
Let's
that
see.
horse is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, you can see how gorgeous. I'll give you a little taste of the view out my door. Let's see. There's the mountains all around us
Look at
in
that.
this amazing valley.
I know that you're not wanting to do anything, in your private space, but there's something, I feel it, through the
Let's see,
computer.
where is he?
There's a certain energy there.
There is energy. This is a vortex. I'm like, I can see him, but I can't tell if you can see him. Oh, you know what?
I can barely see him. I
Hold
can.
on. This is what we got to do. Nope. He is like up in the corner there.
I saw him.
He
Well,
is right
we might take a picture.
there.
There he is.
That little white spot. That's Al.
You guys, he's absolutely gorgeous. Now, how did you get Al?
Oh my gosh. Al came to us through a crazy, awesome experience. One of my clients, Judy Schneider, she does equine therapy and retreats. And she knew that my daughter loved riding horses. And we were looking for a well-trained older horse that had calmer energy. And she connected us with this amazing man named Mr. Earl, who had Al for 20, 25 years. He took him up in the mountains for hours on horseback rides. He's been in parades, he's taught kids how to ride. And we ended up connecting during COVID, and I felt like the right fit. So Al came to live with us because he's in semi-retirement. It's getting a lot for him to be way up in, we're actually a lot lower than Taos, so he's at a lower elevation. And my daughter obviously weighs a lot less than Mr. Earl, so she gets to ride him, and he's pretty
study
happy.
him
What's that?
so you can study him, give him something to do.
That's right. Actually, he's a gelding, so he's not going to have any kiddos, but I feel really blessed just to have him because I think horses can be such good teachers.
Well, they can be a better teacher than you. And I'm so excited for everything that you are about to do because you're a change agent. You're an impactor. You're an influencer.
Thank you.
And so, Brains, get in line or get left behind.
Thank you so much for having me. Brains, follow your heart, follow your soul. And I really appreciate you having me, April. I know you are also one of those change agents and inspirers in the world. And I just appreciate the platform.
And I know where Watts is.
That's right.
Brains, look it up. Let me tell you, it's something else. All right. I'll talk to you real soon.
Bye.